Before we begin this episode, we would like to give a shout out to our patrons on patreon.com/bitterbrownfems, especially Jen, Daniel, Audrey, Natalie, Danielle, Saul, Maria, Luis, Edis, and Kimberly. If you'd like to support this podcast in return for awesome rewards, it really helps us keep this thing going. You can do so at patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. All right, let's start the show.
We'll do it live. We'll do it live! Fuck it! Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! Fucking thing sucks!
Five, four, three. So I think we're ready to get started. So let's welcome Cassandra! She finally made it!
I think they had a question.
Hi. Sorry. my flight got delayed, so I'm sorry. And there's a lot of people here in LA, so much traffic. But you all know that. So I'm sorry for being late. Hi. And
So do you want to start the show officially?
Oh, okay. Yeah. How many questions did you take?
I did like three.
On my behalf.
Three questions. They all were all like, fuck Cassandra. Like, wow. And I'm like, yeah.
Rude.
She sucks.
Wow.
Okay, so theme music. Yeah.
I wish we had our intro song.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Bitter Brown Femmes, the show where we talk shit to dismantle shit or something like that. Yeah, we are in Cal State, LA. Woo! In the 90s, this would have been 5 minutes from where I grew up, but today it was about 30 minutes from where I grew up. So, yeah, gentrification sucks. How are you, Cassandra?
I'm cool. I'm, like, dying. We're here. My flight got delayed, so I got here really late. Luckily, I had a cool Uber driver. She was cool. But, yeah, I've been up since, like, 5 in the morning, so.
I haven't slept yet.
Okay. But, you know, I'm here in California. And I guess that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I just came from Texas, where Ted Cruz is still the senator. Yeah.
Yeah, what's up with that?
What is up with that? I don't know. But according to everyone online, it's, you know, my fault.
Well, because, it is.
Yeah, it's my fault. Because I didn't actively, I guess, tell people to vote every day. So.
Well, Cassandra, voting will save us, so.
It will. Every time election season comes around, I'm very hesitant to post about anything because during the 2016 election, I would post very critical things about Hillary Clinton, right? Like, she deserves it. And just, like, about her stance on fucking everything, right? It's Hillary Clinton. And it was, like, people were constantly, like, how dare you, like, we need to defeat Trump, you know, like, all that bullshit. And it's, like, yeah, fucking obviously, like, but that doesn't mean, like, we can't critique Hillary Clinton or that we can't point these things out, right? And so, like, when she won, like, that whole week, I had people in my comments that were like, how dare you say anything when, like, you critiqued Hillary Clinton and you didn't vote for her. And, you know, like, this thing that happens when, like, liberals are, like, blaming, like, non-voters or, like, third-party voters or people that, or even people that voted but weren't, like, going out on the streets to get people to vote and, like, putting the blame on them that these, like, awful people are in power instead of the people that actually fucking voted for them. And so, like, during this election, like, I did talk about Beto O'Rourke, like we did on our last episode. And I, like, I don't know if you've noticed, but I haven't even posted, like, that episode on Chicanismo because I'm like, if I post it before their election, they're going to be like, how dare you? This is going to discourage people from voting for Beto O'Rourke. And then I was like, well, if he wins, then I'll post it, like, after. And then they're going to be like, this is, like, why can't you let us have our fucking moment? So it's like, when am I allowed to post, like, an actual critique on someone, right? And so, like, now that he lost, I'm like, if I post, like, it's just, like, a hot mess. But people are, like, really online, like, harassing me and, like, telling me that it's my fault, Ted Cruz, the senator. Yeah. And also, there's, like, this thing, like, someone tweeted us that, like, we don't vote, and we love voting. Like, we love it. We're with the Democratic Party. And like, I fucking vote every election, but like I do, and I actually fucking voted for Beto O'Rourke, and it really hurt me. It really did. Like, it was fucking degrading.
Yeah, you let people let Beyonce down. Like, what the fuck?
They did. Yeah. Like, going to the polls is really degrading. Like, I said that, and it sounds funny because it's like voting, but it really, it really fucking is. It's like, I posted like Michael Jackson gif, you know, he's like hiding, he's coming out of the store. That was like me. I'm like with the hoodie, like, you know, don't tell anyone I'm here voting for Beto O'Rourke, please. But it is, because I'm like three of the people that I voted for, like Beto O'Rourke, which I talked in our last episode, and if you didn't listen to it, in short, he was a councilman in El Paso a few years ago, and he like fucked over a low-income, predominantly Mexican-American neighborhood via like gentrification. Like, he voted to demolish their neighborhood, and he was their city rep, and it was all because of his father-in-law, who's like a real estate developer, who's like trying to gentrify El Paso, whatever. You can go listen to that episode. But I do not like him. And then I voted for fucking Lupe Valdez, who was running for governor. And it was like, she's like a lesbian. She's Latina. So everyone's like, yeah, like first Latina governor, Lupe Valdez. And then when you listen to what Lupe Valdez says, she's just like pro-militarization of the border. She used to be like, I don't think she was a cop, but she was something. She was just a hot mess too. So like, I had to go and fucking vote for these people knowing that I don't fucking agree with them, you know? And like, that hurt my soul, but I fucking did it, you know?
Yeah. But, like, I like.
But it's still my fault, you know, that Ted Cruz lost.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I was like passive aggressive about like voting online. I'm just like, I voted for all the good guys. Can y'all just get off my back about like how we're somehow the problem, right? Like, because if we look at stats, like, it doesn't look really good for white people. Like, it really doesn't. Who keep voting for these fucking systems that fuck the rest of us over, right? I remember this one white dude who, I don't know why people give him so much space to talk about like anti-racism work. I think it's like
Bernie Sanders. Like,
no, I think his name is like Jack Whiteout or something like that. Sam Whiteout. Sam Whiteout. They gave him so much space to talk about anti-racism.
Who is that? Like, some, what does like, he do?
Some like skinny, tall white dude who has like a fade and like dresses like, I don't know, like he's like shops at Banana Republic all the time.
Well, that doesn't narrow anything down.
Yeah, no. He's like very big with the liberals. They're like,
but like, is he part of an org? Because I've never heard of him.
I don't know, homie.
Doesn't matter. Okay.
Anyway, so he was like
another white guy.
He posted like the statistics about like white women's voting. And,
oh, okay.
Yeah, it was like white womening again. And I'm like, what the fuck did white men vote? And it's like something like almost 80% of them voted like Republican. And I'm just like, you have the audacity to call out white women? Like, no, like white women's siding was like white supremacy is like not your chance to let out your misogyny. Like, it really fucking isn't. A lot of other people get to call out white women, but not white men, especially not cis white men. Go fucking fly a kite. And so for me, like, I voted for all the right things and all that stuff, and like harm reduction with like the knowledge that like it means a harm reduction for like U.S. citizens, not like harm reduction for like the rest of the world, right? Which to me, people are like, oh, well, we can't have everything. And I'm like, why do we have to bomb anyone? Why do we have to like send a military to the border? Like, why is that something that we accept as like collateral? And so for me, like, you know, I did the whole voting thing. It was cute. I didn't have to
show up. What'd you wear?
Huh?
What'd you wear?
I didn't, because I don't have to show up in public, because my district has been so disenfranchised. Right, so I'm from Maywood, which, if you know, like, we lost our police force, like, our mayors got kicked out of office, right? Like, we are, like, in debt, like, we didn't even have an actual polling place. Everybody had to vote by mail, right? And that's, like, it's fun and convenient or whatever, but, like, what led to this, like, cute little, like, ballot via mail? Like, a lot of fucked up shit, a lot of voter disenfranchisement. And, like, why? Because it's part of the biggest sanctuary city of the U.S., the Southeast L.A. area. Bell, Cudahy, Maywood, Southgate, all that shit. They don't give a fuck about that area because it's all immigrants, right? And because And because so many of us are going to vote blue, right? So, I don't know. Voting was fun. Beto O'Rourke, you know, daddy, problematic daddy.
I hate that.
What? Okay, I sent her pictures of this guy
For like the last month, he's been sending me pictures of Beto O'Rourke saying daddy. And I don't know what. I'm like, I'm going
to
block you.
Well, I like used to have a crush on this guy that looked like Beto O'Rourke. And like.
Of course you did.
No, I sent you the picture. Like, you know, it looks like him. If I wasn't going to get like called out or whatever, like in the internet, because he's also like a journalist, like, and he would probably find the picture, then I would put it up. I sent you the pictures. Like,
I did. Yeah. It looks like a regular white guy.
Okay. That's what. You can't make fun of white people for how they look. That's racist. Oh, no, but that reminds me, like, somebody basically called Trump a white supremacist, and he was like, that's racist.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
And I'm just like, calling out white nationalism isn't racism. White nationalism is racism. Did he go to school? Like, I don't know. Like, did he read a book? I don't know.
No.
That press conference is a hot mess.
He said that he didn't know who Little John was.
I know, which, like, I'm so...
I just said little, like Little John. Lil John.
Well, you're from El Paso. You can say it.
Like, I'm a mother.
So, yeah, I'm, like, I felt, like, hurt on Lil John's behalf because, like...
Like, they were on a show together. I don't know.
He was, like, such a foundational part of so many of our high school experiences.
He was.
Yo, like, no, like, he gave us so much. Like, he supported Sierra, which, like, has done so much for LGBT rights. Like,
he supports consent, because if you listen to, what's that song? Friends and...
Lovers and Friends.
Lovers and Friends. He talks about consent.
Starting the iconic trio of Ludacris, Usher, and Little John. How do you not know that? Please name their other collaboration.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I know him. I know who
Lil
John
is. No, the
name
of the song is Yeah.
Oh. Oh, you were asking me a question. I'm sorry. I totally missed that.
Oh, yeah. Because she's like such a cool girl. She only listened to like Bikini Kill and like Alice Bag and like. What
I've
else?
Been listening to Carly Rae Jepsen.
Yes.
Yeah.
My
Thanks
impact.
To Ruben. Yeah. Yes. So.
What's your favorite song?
My favorite song? Right. I don't know. I was listening to Give Me Love right now. Yeah. That was a bop.
There's no bad choice. Yeah.
Yeah. No. But it's actually perfect because when I first met Ruben in Portland, we stayed in a Airbnb together. We had just met and he was just like listening to Carly Rae Jepsen and I was like, okay. I know who Carly Rae Jepsen is because of, you know, everyone knows like her song. What is it? Maybe? Call Me Maybe. Okay. I'm a new fan. Okay. Call Me Maybe. And so like, I knew who she was, but I was like, okay, this is weird. Like, why are you listening to this person who like, you know, in my mind, like she made like, it was like a one hit wonder, you know? And so he always talks about Carly Rae Jepsen, but I never really like bothered to listen to it. But where were we last week? At USC on the way back home, I was like, I'm going to listen to Carly Rae Jepsen. And I did. And then I loved it. But I think it's like perfect timing because it's like feel good music. And, you know, like the last 2 weeks have just been so shitty. So it does make me feel good.
Yeah. People always ask me, I think us, like, what do you listen to? What do you read? What do you watch?
We don't read.
Yeah. No, we do read. Expecting like these like super like conscious like bands or whatever. And I'm like, I hate conscious music. Like Residente 13 gets on my nerves. Like no. Like,
I don't know who that is.
Calle 13.
Oh, okay.
Like Residente. Like,
oh, okay. Are they
all like the real
music?
Radical chicken exes in LA.
They're conscious music?
Like, because
I used to booty dance to Atrévete. That was like a party song.
Yeah, after they made like Latin America, like all of, like the cishet Chicanos are like all about Residente. Like he really represents them.
Okay.
And I'm just like not. So that's just one example. But I like Carly Rae Jepsen and like Britney and like the TV I watch is like cartoons. Like yeah. And you watch crap too, right? You watch Law and Order.
Oh,
as
that's
you.
Rude. I haven't watched Law and Order in a while, but I do love Law and Order and The Office and. Yeah, because we get asked, like, I mean, especially right now, like, this last month or, like, the last few weeks have just felt so fucking shitty, like, something new this administration has done every fucking day. And so the last talks that we've given, you know, people kind of ask, like, about self-care, how, like, what do you do to, like not feel so down and shitty about the state of the world? And it's like, we just listen to pop music. I guess.
Yeah, the last few weeks have felt horrible, right? And like our blogs have kind of been inactive because of that. I think for a moment I just felt paralyzed with so much going on, right? We had the trans memo, the Central American refugees being demonized, right? The militarization of the border, like Trump's call for like end of birthright citizenship. Like that shit just happened like one after the other. And it was like, it was supposed to be like a type of mental terrorism, right? They were supposed to feel marginalized, make marginalized people feel like, you know, they were worthless and empower bigots to go out and vote, right? That was very, that was a scare tactic. And for, I mean, I'm not going to pretend that I didn't fall for it. I like totally felt like immobile for a while, especially because for me, like trans people, Central American people, immigrants, undocumented folks are not like some abstract concept. They're like my best friends, they're my neighbors, they're my partners, right? Like they're people who I exist in community with. So to me, I had to take a moment from like engaging anything. And the only thing that I can remember doing that weekend, it was just like sharing people's like money links, right? Because like, unfortunately we function under capitalism and people need money to fucking eat, right? And who doesn't get a lot of money? And it's usually marginalized people, the most marginalized people, trans people of color, right? Who still can be fired in at least 30 states in the US, right? Simply for existing. So when you see a trans person or non-binary posting up a cash link, like it's because they literally cannot, like employers can legally like discriminate against them. Right, and so they legitimately need money. And so when something horrible like the trans memo like enters like the public consciousness, like there's a immediacy to their need for funds that we have to pay attention to. Because I've mentioned before, I'm infuriated when we care more about trans death than trans life. Right, so you'll see like GoFundMes for like a trans person who was murdered, right? And you see them fulfilled like past like the $10,000 mark. But the same person probably sent out their cash links earlier and couldn't get $20, right? And I think it's really indicting of like how we prefer to see trans people, right? And for a lot of people, it's like out of sight, right? So that's been my weeks. So it's just been anger and like sadness and like, but I'm glad you're here. In Cal State LA.
Yeah, during those times I didn't post a lot either, and I always feel guilty, especially because I have a platform. So I'm like, oh, like people expect me to post about what is happening and give updates, but at the same time it's like I also need to remove myself, because everyone does need, if you need to take a step back from social media, like you have to do it, right? Like there's no guilt in that. So I had took some time off also because I didn't want to just, sometimes like I'll see an article that's like, you know, for whatever issue that's like fresh, right? Like it started circulating and like we post it right away, but we don't have all like the information. So like usually I wait until I see what is all the information, or like what are people saying about it. And I also didn't want to, you know, with everything that was happening, especially being in El Paso and seeing the border is already militarized, okay? It's already militarized. We have a wall. Like, we have a fence. They're already taking down that fence in El Paso to put up the wall, which is just bigger. And, like, me living at the border and actually seeing the drills that they were doing at the border and shutting down the bridges and, like, being in that state was also, like, I wanted to share it, but at the same time, like, I didn't want to just start sharing random things and then creating also, like, false information or false narratives, right? So right now, it's obviously everything that they were doing, the Trump administration, was to garner votes, right? It was like, let's focus on this caravan so that like white, you know, racists can go out and vote for Cruz, because we're putting it out that they're a threat. So we need people to continue to vote for us, right? And so right now that the election is over, and I know it was barely what, like 2 days ago, there has been like zero talk about the refugees from Central America. And I'm not saying that, you know, they're like safe now or that nothing's gonna happen, but that was obviously just to get people to vote for Republicans. So, I mean, right now in El Paso, I just saw, I think it was actually today on the way here, like a new headline, a new article about how this Trump's administration is essentially, it doesn't even make sense, because they're like, oh, we're gonna restrict the way that people seek asylum, and initially people just kind of come to, you know, U.S. soil and turn themselves in to Border Patrol or at the port of entry, and they can request asylum. Like, that's the legal way and, like, the right way to do it, right? The right way that everyone fucking wants them to. And for months now, like, since over the summer, in El Paso, and I'm sure in other border cities, they have been blocking people from accessing U.S. soil, technically. So usually, like, if I walk across the bridge from Juarez to El Paso, like, you cross, and when you get to customs, then you show your identification, whatever. So people cross into customs, and they turn themselves in, right? And then they get, you know, they go through that process. So a while ago, I crossed to Juarez, and when I crossed back, there was Border Patrol, like, halfway, not even, like, just halfway at the bridge, and I thought something was happening, like, you know, like, I, there was, like, people getting married at the bridge. I don't know. This white people, you know, they're, I don't even know. So I thought that they were, like, protecting the marriage. I don't know. So I was walking, and, like, halfway there, they asked me for my, you know, my passport, and I gave it to them because I thought, oh, maybe they're just here because, like, these people are getting married. I don't know. But then I realized that they were standing in the middle, like, halfway, and asking people for their documentation. And if you didn't have documentation, they would tell you to leave because technically you weren't on U.S. soil. So they're, like, illegally doing that, blocking people. Right now, there's been, like, for the last week, like, a lot of people that are just camped out on the bridge sleeping, hoping that they'll let them in to request asylum. Like, they've been sleeping at the bridge. And so, like, now they're saying that they're coming down hard on the way that people seek asylum, but they've been illegally blocking people from seeking asylum the correct way for fucking months. So, you know, for all the people that love laws and, like, want people to obey orders, but when their administration is doing illegal shit, like, they don't have anything to say, right? So, like, the people that are like, they need to come here the right way, they need to do this the correct way, well, like, they're trying to do that, and your administration and your president isn't allowing them to do that, and you have nothing to say about that. So, like, you know, cut the bullshit and just say you're racist. Like,
yeah. Well, it's because, like, white people want, like, us to, like, repeat, like, what their ancestors did, right? Like, they came here and they asked natives, like, very calmly for permission, like, can I come and name your land America? And natives said yes, and, you know, happily ever after. And it's just, like, infuriating that, like, it's, like, this purposeful, this, like, insidious amnesia that, like, bigots engender and push in order to instill hate, right? And sometimes it's in the form, in like, other less obvious forms, right? Like, for example, bigots, conservatives, and sometimes even liberals use this language of, like, they're going to come over here and steal our jobs, right? They're going to come over here and, like, be violent towards us, right? They want to inspire this sense of, like, camaraderie and protection, right? Which comes with nationalism, right? So nationalism is similar to xenophobia, but in a different way. I think they're both bad, to be honest. Xenophobia teaches you to hate other people that you consider outside of your culture and who you consider outside of, like, your country, right? Who are born somewhere else. Nationalism teaches you to protect everyone who shares the same cultures, same, like, territory, and was born in the same territory, right? But things get a little white supremacy when we, like, consider, like, that even Native people aren't considered part of the nation, right? Like, they're not given resources to even, like, drink water, right? There's very many reservations that have never really had running water. We have black people who, you know, are not considered citizens. One of my best friends, Alan Palaez, writes about their experiences as a undocumented Afro-Indigenous person, right, who isn't considered a citizen in Mexico because they don't recognize Indigenous people, but isn't considered a citizen in the U.S. And even if he gained citizenship, they gained citizenship as a black indigenous person. What does that even mean in a place where we have many places like Flint, Michigan that still doesn't have water? We have a system where police brutality is normalized, right? So when we look at the nitty-gritty of, like, U.S. nationalism and pair that with Trump's, like, call to end birthright citizenship, like, we have to see what that means, right? what does it mean that we live in a white supremacist country that promotes all the violence I just mentioned, right? But now you can't even be born here and be considered an American, right? What is the standard for citizenship then? And I think you'll find like that historically you gotta be white, you gotta be cis, right? In order to be considered an American. And I know that's like a lot, right? But there's no reason that we are making refugees seem like criminals. There's like no reason. We live in the belly of the beast. We live in the capitalist fucking Disneyland. Like, we have the money, we have the resources to feed the fucking world. And for some goddamn reason, the state wants to pretend that we don't. The state wants to make us believe that things are scarce, that resources are scarce. And they have a lot of ways to make us feel that, right? Hoods are part of that, right? Food deserts are part of that, right? They make us feel like we don't have resources because they don't give them to us, even though they have them. And so because we feel the scarcity, people coming from outside our borders, looking for a better life, like, they can make us see them as the enemy, as opposed to like a comrade who's suffering through similar things that we are.
Yeah, I think citizenship and nationalism actually have a lot to do with voting, going back to voting, because, you know, there's a lot of people that are like, this, something that I see a lot around elections or just in general, that are like, if voting wasn't powerful, then they wouldn't try to stop you, or like, you know, voter suppression, right? Like, if your vote didn't count, then they wouldn't go out of their way to make it impossible for you to vote. And yes, that is true to some extent, but I think that that is based on what it means to be a citizen, because voting has always been, you know, from the beginning, white men had the right to vote, and then white women, and then, you know, people of color had a fight after that. And it was more so because voting was an American right. So by them, you know, making it hard for people of color, for other people to vote, I don't think it's so much like, yes, voting and like getting people in power is a part of that, but I think it has more to do with like who has the right to be a citizen and who has the right to participate in this citizen only thing, right? And like Puerto Ricans, for example, they don't have the right to vote, but they're still part, they're like part of, they're not part of the United States, they're like a colony, right? They're like, Puerto Ricans are quote unquote part of America, but they're not, right? Because they're not allowed to vote, they don't have representation. They, like, look at the hurricane situation that happened. Like, there was no resources for them, but, you know, we want to draft them into wars, and we want, well, not me, but the state, the state wants to draft them into wars, the state wants to use them for their labor, but they don't even have the right to vote, but still, they want to pretend that they're part of the United States. So, and I was going to say something else about voting, but now I forgot.
Fuck, this is the anti-voting rally. Like,
I know, people on Twitter.
No, you're right, right? I think that's important that you brought up Puerto Rico, right? Who still, like, has been recovered from the hurricane, right? And we're seeing, like, a parallel to Katrina happen, right? And it's like, even though the U.S. governed these two places, right, because in Katrina, the citizens were primarily black, and in Puerto Rico, they're primarily like non-white folks, the government doesn't prioritize them, right? So
I remembered what I was gonna
citizenship
say.
Didn't matter then.
Sorry. So I wanted to talk about, you know, I don't know if you all saw, I'm sure you all saw who voted for fucking Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz.
Who? White women.
Oh.
white men. You know, we all know white men are going to vote for Cruz. Like, we don't even need to address white men, and really don't even really need to address the white women voted for him either, but also need to, because they act like, this is the thing, like, with white women, I'm just like, not surprised fucking ever, but also like annoyed, I think, is more, because in January we're gonna see them out here in their damn pussy hats, and they're gonna act like they're all about liberation and they're all about feminism, and I'm like, these white women that are that voted for Trump, that have now voted for Cruz and all the other fucking Republicans, this election, I'm not their friends, right? Like, I'm not gonna go out and like talk to white women. That's not my fucking job, to collect them and make them understand what they're doing is wrong and make them understand racism. Like, other white women need to collect their fellow white women, right? And so for the last 2 years, there was like, maybe if like the numbers were lower, you know, if like less white women voted for Cruz, we'd be like, okay, you know, maybe like the white women are getting it, not all of them, but some of them, since the last 2 years, but it's like the exact same number. So what are white women doing other than like coming out every January to march and they're, you know, fucking pussy hats, those fucking ugly things.
They're crocheting. They gotta make those.
Like, and this is the thing about voting, that it's like, yes, like, go and vote. Like, I have to fucking state that so people won't harass me on Twitter. Like, yeah, go fucking vote. But also, what are you doing year-round after elections? Because you go out and vote, and then, like, that's it. The Women's March, maybe, like, that's it, though. And then election season comes around again, and then you're, like, yelling at everybody, like, vote. And it's actually, not even everybody. Like, people just want to harass like people of color for not voting. Like, they want to put the blame on people of color for not voting or for whatever reason, instead of actually calling out the people that are voting for these people, you know? So I'm just at this point, like, I don't know. That's why I said on Twitter, I don't want to fucking see why. I don't even go to the women's marches because of this, but
oh,
they're just like hypocrites. Like, I just. I'm sorry for cutting you off. I don't even want to talk about white women. I want to talk about the Latinxes that voted for fucking Cruz, because that's what I want to fucking talk about, because those numbers were also fucking high. Like, 39% of Latinos voted for Cruz, 34% of Latinas voted for Cruz. So men are fucking up more. Sorry, guys. But also, Latinos are not off the hook. But those were also some numbers that I was like, okay, almost 40% of Latinos voted for Cruz. And there's like a lot to unpack there, because, I mean, well, first, let's get this out of the way. Ted Cruz is white, okay? Because I'm tired of people that are like, Ted Cruz is Latino. And I'm like, I guess he's fucking Canadian. I mean, yeah, his dad was Cuban, whatever. But he's still white at the end of the day, okay? He chose the name Ted. Like, he wants to be white. He's fucking white. So he's not like a part of us. Like, we don't owe him shit. Like, even if he was Latino, like, what the fuck? But I mean, because some people, like, they're really like reaching. Like, people don't want to accept that Latinxes can also be fucking anti-black and can be homophobic and can be bigots and can be all of these things. Like, people want to justify it. So they're like, maybe they just voted because like they saw like the last name Cruz. You know, and like they're like, oh, this is a Latino. And I'm like, people know who the fuck Ted Cruz is. Like, maybe one person, yeah, okay, was like, I'm gonna vote for the Latino. I'm sure a lot of people do that. But come on, like, it's fucking Ted Cruz. We know who he is.
The Zodiac Killer.
Oh my God, did you see that tweet he posted on Halloween? It was so embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like, I just, bye.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on a lot. I think that it's a little bit of a disservice to just call Ted Cruz just like white TM, because like he still embodies a lot of like bigoted Latinidad. So like that is us too, I think.
Yeah, that is us. I just feel, I don't know. I just feel like when I look at him, like, I am not like, oh, this is a fellow Latino. Mm. That's what I feel about all white Latinxes. Sorry, but. Like, yes, you're Latinx, but I mean, okay, whatever. He is a white Latino, whatever. The point is, people voted for him in high numbers. And I feel like we need to unpack why, because also it's like we can constantly call out white people, right? Like other white people, white women, for like voting for these people. But it's like our family and our friends are doing the same fucking thing. And I know, because my family probably voted for Cruz. Well, not my mom, because she can't vote, which is a good thing. It is, and I tell her, because she My family is very religious, and that's like one of the things that I see a lot, like a lot of religious Latinx families that do not, the only thing that they want to hold on to is this like pro-life shit. Like they don't care about anything else the candidate says. As long as they're pro-life, they're like, I have to vote for him because that's what like God wants me to do somehow. I don't know. But that's what my sister did. My family's a hot mess, okay? Like I have these conversations all the time and it's like the worst. And it's also very, I don't know if interesting is a word, but like my mom, for example, she was born in Torreon. Like she came to Juarez and then crossed El Paso a couple of times. I mean, this was back in the 80s. Like she would cross the border illegally, but she's out here like saying Trump is great. And I feel like half of me is like, I understand the brainwash assimilation shit, but that's not an excuse, right? Obviously. And it's like, it's like when we're talking about nationalism, I feel like a lot of Latinxes hold on to nationalism, even if they're like not, like my mom, for example, she's not from the United States, but she feels like she owes the United States something. That's what I feel like. She feels like because she's here, and there was always like this constant like narrative that she shouldn't be a bad immigrant, she shouldn't be on food stamps, she should work all the time and be the quote unquote good immigrant. And because of that, she's like, oh, you know, well, I made it, I did this. And it's like, my mom struggled a lot, but because she has this like warped view of like the good immigrant and she wants to be accepted in the United States, she wants to cling on and spew out all of these things, right, to hold on to that. And I feel like that's not just my mom, but I feel like that's a lot of Latinxes, especially people that immigrated here, that have family that immigrated here.
Yeah, I think I can see where that comes from, right? I think one of the roots of that is that like when you come from like a hyper-nationalist space, right? Like for example, like your mom's Mexican, my parents are also Mexican, right? Where the national anthem basically says like every child of Mexico is a soldier, right? Like you're supposed to be, even the national anthem is like very like militarized, right? That indoctrination into like nationhood as character doesn't just leave like when you enter the US and you make life here, right? And so my father was very Republican until he went to jail and then like he like had an awakening. And so that's not funny. but my mother was very like same boat, like very like religious, and because she was religious, that meant that like she had to vote for the pro-life candidate no matter what. And I was like, Mom, like if you know how many kids I would have had to abort if like I was like I'm different like biology or whatever, like that's not a good reason to vote Republican, Mom. But I don't know how to say this without giving religion a pass, organized religion a pass. Yes, they have a large influence, but like, why are we just accepting that people can make their own choice? I don't know. Like, why can't we accept that? Why can't we like see that like people, yes, the church tells you like, this is who you have to vote for, blah, blah. Because I grew up in Maywood, St. Rosa Lima was the church we went to at least 3 times a day. They give out like voting pamphlets, right? Like this is who we vote for as good Catholic people, right? And like a lot of them were like, you know, this candidate is pro-life, so we have to go with them, blah, blah, blah. Before like Prop 8, which like I don't know how young y'all are, but before like same-sex marriage passed in the U.S., right? California had its own wave of like same-sex marriage being allowed here, and the church was also would advocate against that and pass out pamphlet against that, right? And so, yes, my mother took these supplementals and was informed by the church, but she also had a queer child that she could have listened to and not voted against their better interests, right? So, I don't know. I think that there is, yes, there's a church, but also like a lot of our people refuse to undo their own bigotry, even though they are hurting their own families, right? So I do think church is one of the reasons. I think that another reason is just good old-fashioned piece of shit, anti-blackness and anti-indigeneity, right? Misogyny as well, right? All the good old-fashioned isms. Because, like, right now you mentioned Ted Cruz, but, like, the numbers are pretty much the same for Trump. Like, it was still the 30% range, right? And so what was Trump saying to, like, to Latinxes that, like, made them, that inspired them to vote for him? Like, he was saying nothing good about us. So why were we so galvanized to vote for him in such large numbers? Like, and that's something that I'm, like, I would say I'm confused about, but I know that a part of it is that we feel like if we are accomplices to white supremacy, then we can gain some of the power, right? Then we can also be in control, right? Despite a history showing us that it's not the wave, like, it's not real. And I think a lot of us are going to get an awakening, whether we like it or not, if Trump actually goes through with this birthright shit, because it wouldn't be the first time that citizens who are first generation get stripped of their rights, right? We had the Mexican Repatriation Act in the early 1900s that just threw a bunch of people who looked Mexican into a train and shipped them off to Mexico. Like, that is a very real part of our history. And not even that far back, we had Japanese internment camps, right? Where the state decided you look like a threat because you look Japanese, right? Or your papers show that you are of Japanese descent. So we're gonna put you aside, even though you're a citizen, even though you've built a life here, even though you have land, resources, and all these things that, you know, that the Declaration of Independence promised, right? Prosperity and pursuit of happiness, right? Even though we said you were granted these things, we actually see you as a threat, so we need to isolate you. So a part of it is this part of why I think Latinxes vote for against their better interests is because they think they're going to gain something from it. And it's just not the reality.
Also, yeah, well, that and having a proximity to whiteness always, because that's another thing I see too, you know, when people are like, it's the white Latinxes. I'm like, yes, but also not just the white ones, okay. I know in Florida, yes, it's the white Cubans. I know it's them. They're mad about their land. But it's also, I don't know, I don't know, it's just sad. Because I also think, you know, if that does happen, let's say, you know, tomorrow, a week from now, a year from now, the people, you know, the Latinxes that voted for Trump have a, like, awakening where he does something, he takes their citizenship away, or he puts them in a camp, he does something, right? Like, I feel like at this point, it's like, they would still somehow be okay with that. They'd be like, it's for, like, my own good, you know? Like, I'm a threat somehow, it's fine. Like, and that's ugly to say, but it's like, that's how, like, I see some of the comments that people leave on my local, like, news station. I don't know why I read them, but they're all mostly, like, Mexican-American, and they say, like, the most racist, xenophobic, anti-black shit. And they're like, yes, build the wall, and, like, all of the things that you can imagine. And I go on their profile, and these people are just, like, brown. Like, you know, they don't even have to be brown, but it's just like, what are you doing? And it, like, a lot of people, I think, also are like, you know, it's internalized racism. And I'm like, yeah, it's, you know, we all have to, like, undo that. Internalized racism is very real, but it's also not justification. Like, I feel like every time I point these things out, people are like, it's the white Latinxes, it's internalized racism, it's because Cruz has a Latinx last name. And I'm like, what?
Beto, like, changed his name for y'all. Like,
I know.
Yeah. I think all that is very right.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think we have a lot of work to do, because, like, something I feel like we've talked about in our podcast is, it's, for example, culture appropriation, right? It's like Latinx's favorite fucking thing to talk about and spend energy on, because it's easy to point at other people and be like, you're stealing our culture and you're doing this and you're racist and you're profiting off of us, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Spending so much energy, like, calling these, you know, white ladies out that are selling Mexican clothes, whatever. But then when it's like time to examine ourselves, everyone's like, what?
Yeah.
No, I don't want to do that. You're like, I want to just focus on cultural appropriation and calling other people out, but I don't want to examine the ways that I, you know, let's not even get to Frida Kahlo right now. But it's just like, especially after elections, because I feel after elections, you know, Thanksgiving or like family time comes around and it's like the same people that are online, like talking all this big shit, won't even confront their own family members. So it's like, yeah, call out your grandma. I've called out my grandma. Yeah, I've had to. It's, I mean, you got to do it.
Yeah.
And my dad and my mom. All of my family, they're awful. Sorry. They are. They really are. But
yeah,
that's what the Lord gave me.
And so you, if you take anything from today, is the Lord wants you to fight your family. Like,
yeah.
Both above and also in New Zealand, the Lord. Only the gays will get that. But you were talking about how, like, we got to fight our family, and yeah, that's very real. And, you know, and how internalized racism does lead to this on some point, but I think, and this connects, let me try to make this not as complicated. Some of these people don't hate themselves for their skin color. Some people are so empowered that they want to vote this way, right? So that's, I think, one of the fucked up things about, like, focusing only on, like, empowerment, right, and not critique, is that, like, okay, so you think your brown is beautiful, but you still want to vote Cruz, and you still want to vote and be a bigot. Like, so what good is you saying, like, you know, brown is bello, and I love my body, if you're going to fuck up other people who look like you, who... Right? And with feminism and white feminism in particular, like, what good is empowering women if they're just going to, like, white women, if they're just going to go and oppress everybody else, right? And it brings me to something that writer Flavia Sodon covers about, like, the corruption of, like, capitalist feminism that empowers women to seek these, like, you know, CEO jobs in order to, like, oppress hella people, right? Or they only focus on, like, individual female empowerment, right? So, like, Megyn Kelly called herself a feminist. What does that mean, right? Yeah. Like, there's a lot of, like, these Republican white women.
They go to the march, too.
Yeah.
They so, like, do, yeah. And they're like, oh, I thought this was, like, all women, even Republican women. I'm like...
And they're empowered as fuck. Like, Tommy Lauren.
You're already
like,
empowered.
She's so empowered, she's going to sound like a whack-ass homie, like, on her little show or whatever. Like,
did she get fired?
I don't know.
Yeah,
don't
she did, her. I think, like, 2 weeks ago.
I don't know. She's a mess, though, but she's an empowered mess, right? So, like, what does that fucking mean? So for the podcast, we get a lot of, like... And for maybe even leading up to the podcast, like, me and Cassandra, like, obviously, like, really love ourselves. But but, like, one of the feedback...
We're so great.
Yeah. Well, one of the things is, like, oh, y'all just want to critique everything. And, like, what about empowerment? Or, like, what about voting Latina? Or, like, what about, like, you know, this
yeah,
and that?
Yeah, it's like...
Or go follow, I don't know.
Me too. No, if you want taco memes, go follow me too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, and it's not, it's just like, yeah, empowerment is great. It is great. Like, it's good to feel good about yourself. I think undoing, like, years of colorism and racism and even sexism, homophobia, biphobia, like, those are all things that I've had to, like, deal with myself to come to this point where I'm like, I love myself, or, like, I'm comfortable in my body, I'm bi, I'm femme, I'm all of these things, right? And it took me a long time to get here, and I hope that everyone gets to that point at one point in their lives, right? But I'm also not going to center my politics around empowerment, because this is, like, what, going back to, like, your first question, like, when I discovered Chicano politics, I felt empowered, I felt seen, I felt connected to it, I was like... oh, there's history that I never knew about. And so, like, I read up on, like, Chicano politics, on Chicano feminism, and I, like I said, like, I was empowered. That's what inspired me to create Chicanisma, to have, like, to put this information out there, to connect with other Chicanas, whatever, whatever. But it was, like, there's a lot of things wrong with the Chicano movement, right, that we don't ever want to talk about, and it's, like, homophobia, it's, like, nationalism, anti-blackness, xenophobia, like, on and on and on and on, right? And, like, yes, that was in the 60s, but, like, this is 2018, and people still do not want to critique these things in the Chicano movement and Chicano politics, which is why it's still in the same fucking place it's always been, right?
Because we're all indigenous, right?
Yeah, we're all indigenous, supposedly. Even Ted Cruz. And it's like we get to, like, we discover this thing, and it might not be, you know, Chicano politics for some. It might be, like, something else, right? Like, feminism can also empower you. Other things can empower you, but it's like after you're empowered, what are you doing? Are you just, like, online? You're like, I'm empowered and I'm liberated, and, like, that's it. I have no other work. There's no other work to be done because I'm empowered, right? And I think that's where, like, people get stuck. At least that's where I got stuck. In, like, the Chicana movement, where I was like, I'm empowered, I have history, like, yes, I'm a Chicana, but I was like, I didn't understand how, like, my politics were anti-black, how I was being nationalist, how I was xenophobic, how, because I was just, like, stuck in this place of, like, yay, you know, I found my people, but it's like, my people were shit, I was shit. And, like, I have to undo all of those things. And now that I've undone all of those things within myself, like, I also have, I feel like, a responsibility, especially because my page started from that, to undo all of those things as well, like, publicly. And a lot of people don't want to hear that. A lot of people just want to hear, like, Latinos are great, brown is beautiful, pan dulce shit. And it's like, when we talk about the ugly things in our community, no one wants to hear that. Right? And, like, that's, like, I feel like where we're all just stuck, where it's, like, just, like, this romanticization of, like, culture and not, like, a critique on it.
Yeah. I was also stuck in, like, the first wave.
You were a pan dulce fan?
No, I've never liked the pan dulce, anything, memes, or it itself. Well, I don't like conchas. No, let me make something very clear. I like pan dulce. I don't like conchas. I don't get the point.
Oh,
like,
the conchas, that's what I meant. The that's the empowerment.
Yeah.
The conchas. Concha power.
Concha power. but I saw, like, how a lot of the rhetoric, especially, like, in LA, like, growing up here and, like, understanding, like, Chicano empowerment and not really questioning, like, not really seeing the dissonance in, like, us as, like, Latinxes or Chicanxes, like, calling out white people for a cultural appropriation, but not calling out each other for appropriating, like, indigenous cultures, like, regularly and, like, violently, especially in LA. And so to me, that was, like, a wake-up call when, like, I organized with actual indigenous people, and they were like,
they're like, who are you?
Yeah, they were like, what's wrong with you? Like, and I'm just like, oh shit, like, we gotta stop cosplaying as indigenous people, like, LARPing, I mean, same shit. And I think that that was really hard for me to face, because, like, I found, like, a comfort in, like, the first wave empowerment of, like, you know, we're all indigenous and things like that, because it allowed me to erase people who were actually suffering because of mestizo supremacy, right? And we don't want to, like, admit that, like, Latin America and specifically, like, Mexico is, like, a ethno state, but it really is, like. You know that popular saying of la viva la raza, right? Like, if we translated that into English, long live the race. Who the fuck says that in English? Nazis, white supremacists. So how do we normalize that in like Latin America? Why are we so comfortable?
But, and I mean, and what is raza, right? Like, who does that include? Because it's not like, oh, raza means all Latinxes. It excludes black people. It excludes indigenous people. It's pretty much just mestizos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, like, the saying in and of itself, a lot of people feel empowered by it, and, like, I'm not going to lie, like, I didn't, like, when I was growing up, right? And, like, I was the most empowered little brown queer, right? But looking into what the fuck that meant and where it came from, right? Like, la raza came from José Vasconcelos' concept of la raza cósmica, the cosmic race, meaning that Latin Americans, specifically Mexicans, were the supreme beings because they bred out indigenous people, because they bred out black people, right? And they also bred out Middle Eastern people. And they became this superior being that wasn't white, but was like white light and had like all these other cultural, all these other ethnicities attached to it, right? So to me, it's like, holy shit, like, I don't want to be saying that anymore. And so it led me to be like, okay, so I don't want to say this. I don't want to subscribe to this, so then what the fuck am I? And I think it's more uncomfortable to be in the space of like, what the fuck am I, and just like floating in like nothing, than to have like a firm ground of like, I'm a Chicano. This is being a Chicano means like, all these things empower me and they ground me and things like that, right? And I'm not going to question it. Like, I'm not going to question like why Gloria Anzaldúa was very like preoccupied with mestizaje, right? Or why Sherry Moraga hates trans men. Like, I'm not gonna, like, that would be an uncomfortable space, right? But who lost for my comfort, right? Who was I hurting because I wanted to be comfortable? And in these two examples, right, it was black people, indigenous people, specifically from Latin America. It was trans men, right, who saw all of us, you know, uphold Sherry Moraga, who just in 2009 wrote a whole-ass fucking essay in her book, Still Loving in the Still Warriors, I think is the name of the book, and a whole essay about, like, why trans men are actually butch women, right, and why that has to end, right? And that wasn't that long ago. So all of, like, not questioning all that made me complicit in the violence, and I didn't want to be that anymore. I didn't want my empowerment to come at the expense of someone else.
Yes. I don't have anything to add to that. That was great.
We have...
I don't know. Is
yeah,
it...
Oh. Yeah. So we have, anything, like, anyway. 20 minutes left for Q&A. Probably a little less, actually.
You got a question, you got to say it fast.
And we got to answer fast.
We got to answer like fast.
So we're going to wrap this up.
Does anyone have a question? Hi. So I follow both of you on social media. And I know that you both write like Chicanisma and Chicano with an X instead of the CH. And I just wanted to know, like, what does that change mean? Or like, what does it represent? Yeah.
Yeah, to some folks, it might represent like a close relationship to their native roots, right? But to me, it symbolizes like a progression away from first wave Chicanismo, right? As Ana Castillo, you know, who also has her faults or whatever, wrote in like The Massacre of the Dreamers, right? Outlined like a movement away from cishet male. Centered Chicanismo and into one that centered marginalized genders, right? So that's what it means to me. It's also like a commitment to like the root of what I believe Chicanismo to be. And I think what it's only saving grace is that like it is, if understood through like an anarchist lens, then we understand Chicanismo as one that it pays mind to what your community looks like, and looking beyond that to help people, right? So at the baseline of things, and I think this is like in the Mecha like guidebook, I forgot where it is, but like Chicano is not about nationality, it's about a commitment to community and praxis, right? Helping community via praxis. So whatever we learn, right, whatever resources we have, we put out to community. So that's kind of what it entails to me. It's not an advancement of like the superior race or like definitely not none of those Aslan shit. It's like a commitment to people beyond borders. Yeah. They're just like, I just want to say fuck you, Cassandra, for being 20 minutes late.
Hi, Ruben. Hi, Cassandra. I wanted to ask Cassandra, I love a lot of your posts. I learn a lot from your page. I was wondering why you delete some of them. Is it too controversial?
I don't delete them. I archive them. So sometimes I hide them. I mean, it depends. If it's just like a meme, like a no context, just a meme, sometimes I put that out there so that people can see that I'm still active. Because usually for me, like I don't just post like every day, every minute, like some other pages. Sorry. But I like to think about what I'm going to post, and I have to, you know, read about it and analyze it and put it out there. So sometimes when I haven't posted a lot, like I'll just throw like a random thing in there that I personally don't really want on my page, but at the time I'm like, I'm just going to share this, and then I'll archive it. Other times, I think that's like the biggest reason. Other times, like, I don't know, sometimes I turn off the comments. I know that because some of these, like some in the, like I was talking about in the post where I talk about anti-blackness, it's always like 500 fucking comments, and sometimes I have to turn it off because it's the same thing over and over and over again. But I mean, I don't know, was there like a specific post that I deleted? Do you want me to put it back? That's an honest question.
Sometimes I go back to reference it.
Oh, okay. Well, you can DM me, but okay, cool. I mean, I don't know. It's like, it's a random, like I hardly ever really delete anything. Sometimes I archive them. Also, I'm a Virgo moon. I'm astrology. And so I don't like the way that it looks. And so like, I'll remove it if it doesn't follow a color scheme, to be honest. I'm being very honest. Yes. My page is very coordinated. You can go look at it and admire it. That was the main reason. I was lying. It's my it's my Virgo moon that makes me remove it.
Thank you.
But thank you. Yes.
You talked a little bit. You said a little bit about problematic families and the importance of calling folks out. What tips do you have as we approach this holiday season? You know, experiences make
fight. I just fight. You throw the food on the floor. Drink before. Maybe. I don't know. To be honest, like during the Trump election, when I found out that my sister and her husband like voted for Trump, like actually fucking went and voted for Trump, I did not talk to her for like, and it was like obviously like right in November. So like that for Thanksgiving, Christmas into fucking the new year, I did not talk to her. And it was just like, I was really mad. Like, I didn't even know how to approach her. I didn't even know what to fucking say to her because I was so pissed. And, like, we did have a conversation, but it was just, like, her trying to pull, like, her Jesus shit on me. And, like, it was just, like, I had to step away from my family for a while to, like, just get my thoughts together. Because, like, for me, it's really easy to cut people off, even my family. Like, it really is. But at the same time, like, I know that they're my family and that I have responsibility because I can't be online telling like everybody, yes, call out your family. And then I'm like, you know, I don't even want to acknowledge my family. So like I did have to take a step back from them to like, I guess, kind of make sense of it or see like what I can do. But I don't know, like it's, I don't know if I have any direct tips because it's just like, my family really, they give me a headache. Sometimes it's like I want to have like a quote unquote civil conversation and try to be like understanding so we can have some dialogue going. But sometimes I'm just, I get really riled up and then it like gets nowhere. So, I mean, it's just like a give or take. Like, you know your own family, you know what the limits are. But I feel like if you're at a dinner table and your family says some anti-black shit and in your head you're like, oh, this is uncomfortable, I don't know if I want to say something, you should say something. Even if in that moment you're like, that is not okay what you said. Do you want to talk about this after? Do you want to talk about this tomorrow? We can do that when we're not, you know, whatever. Like, you know your family members, you know what works with like one person might not work with another person. Sometimes you got to tell like your sister, like, you're being a fucking piece of shit, right? And like with your brother, maybe they're more understanding. So I think it's just kind of like you figuring out how to navigate that. But at the same time, you know, for example, my family's really homophobic, and as a bi person, I also like have to sometimes just not be in that space for my own, you know, for my own fucking mental health. And that is also okay. So I think that you also need to set boundaries for yourself. But when it's something that doesn't directly affect you, like if they say something anti-black, like I have to call that out, right? Because it's not a direct attack on me. Or if they say something xenophobic towards Central Americans, that's not a direct attack on me. So I can call that out when it's something that's like homophobic, biphobic. Then sometimes I need to remove myself. But I'm talking a lot.
Yeah, know your capacities, right? You don't have to change the world, but you do have a responsibility to your family. And the other one would be have like a network, right? So a lot of y'all have made community here, and maybe you're gonna go back home and have no community at all. So like, make sure you have people you can call, right? That you can vent with, that they can hold space with you. Know your family's language. A lot of us are very happy that like and proud that our family's like very loud and all this fun shit, all this ethnic shit. But then when it comes down to communicating with them, like we don't know how to speak to them all of a sudden. And we forget that they're loud, and we forget that they communicate a very certain way. And so for me, like, I know how my family communicates, right? My mother doesn't respond to reason. She responds to yelling. My older sister is an expert yeller, so yelling at her and yelling with her is a losing game. So with her, I, like, talk very calmly. I'm like, okay, why do you feel that way? Like, what's up? Like, what? For example, like, my sister's, like, was incredibly xenophobic, right? And against Central Americans specifically. And I was like, and so I would fight with her about that. But then when the news about the children in cages came up, like, something, like, turned in her. And she was like, what can we do? And I'm like, well, first thing you can do is not dehumanize people so that the government doesn't think that this is an okay thing to do, right? Because that's where things happen. That's where, like, state violence begins. It's, like, at the individual level, they treat people like shit because they trust that we also think these people don't deserve human rights, right? So if you're going to be crying about, like, kids in cages, then you better stop being xenophobic against them and their parents, right? Don't start caring now that some heartstring was pulled on you, right? Care before we have to care. I don't know if that makes any fucking sense, but... So there's that. Have your allies within the room. For me, with my parents, I was kicked out of the house when I was 19, right, for being queer. So sometimes it was, like, incredibly difficult to exist among them, right? I didn't want to go home for the holidays. I didn't want to eat with them. And in these times, it was my sister's job to be, like, to advocate for me as a queer person. Be like, you're hating him for no reason, right? They are who they are, blah, 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 and just talk with my family. So find people who are not shitty in your family, right? And if you need to throw something, you need to throw something. I mentioned I threw a drink, but it wasn't like housewife's drinks. It was like full glass. Like, it was like, it was my sister's ex-husband who was being like incredibly misogynist. And I'm like, you have daughters in this fucking room. Like, how are you gonna like say that like women don't deserve X and Y thing? And it was just like, at some point, I was like, well, I can't beat this bitch up. Like, he's like 7 feet tall and like he can punch me out. But if I scar him, he'll... Anyway, so yeah, those are my tips. Don't scar your family. Don't scar your family members. You might go to jail.
Thank you.
All right, thank you both. Thank you both. Please give one more round of applause and thank you for coming.
Thank you. Have a nice night. Thank you all for joining us. And
yeah,
that's all. Any final thoughts?
Final thoughts. What should be the outro song?
What should be the outro song to this? Oh, I thought we were going to play Carly Rae.
Is this going to be...
Or Mariah.
Mariah. The Distance. Mariah.
The Distance. Check that shit out.
Yeah.
If you love Bitter Brown Femmes, go stream Caution by Mariah.
Stream Caution. #resist by Streaming Caution.
Yeah, can we have like a 5-minute rant real fast on how great Mariah is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. You know what?
Let's talk about Mariah.
You know what? Yeah, Mariah, you know what? Not
everyone's
over.
Everyone's all, good night, good night. We're like, no, come back.
Come back so we can talk about Caution and Mariah, right? Let's talk about the fact that like y'all are making hella noise about that one girl.
Who?
What's her name? She's like the wannabe little new Mariah.
Ariana Grande?
Yeah, like okay. Fake Mariah. Like everybody was like, everybody's like, release Sweetener or whatever. And it's like, it came out and it was like a whack ass pop album. Like The Saving Grace was like God is a Woman.
And
Thank You Next. And Thank You Next is from another album.
No, there's a good song on that album.
God is a Woman.
No, there's another one. There's two good songs. God is a Woman and this other one. I can't think of it right now. But anyway, go ahead.
So everybody's making noise about this little girl. But all of a sudden, like, the real Mariah, the real vocals, the real enunciation comes...
She's a thesaurus.
Yeah. Enunciation comes in, and y'all want to ignore quality, right? So, I'm sorry, but y'all need to give praise and her due to the queen,
to
Mariah.
To the queen. Let me tell you about Mariah Carey. So, all of the pop all of the pop artists now that have that are pop artists and then make like these songs where they feature rappers, you know, who paved the way for you to do that? Mariah Carey. Mariah Carey came out and she did her shit, and all the white folks loved the shit out of Mariah because they were like, oh, she's respectable, she sings really well, they loved her. And then as soon as Mariah was like, hey, I grew up on hip hop, I want to incorporate this shit into my music, they were like, why?
Yeah.
And she gave that status, and I'm not saying that it's like a good status, like to be like acceptable to white people, but she pretty much was like, nah, I'm gonna do what I want, and I'm gonna collaborate with all these like amazing hip-hop and rap artist, and it wasn't like the norm to do that, so she did that shit. And now all of these people Ariana Grande, don't know her. No, we're not even shitting on Ariana, we're just like,
she's like the most like conscious pop star I think that we've had.
Yeah, I guess. But anyway, we're talking about Mariah.
Back to Mariah.
So let's pay respect to fucking Mariah. She did her shit in the 90s, I think. A lot of people...
And the early 2000s. We're not going to ignore Glitter or Charm Bracelet or...
And you know what?
Emancipation of Mimi.
Glitter, the soundtrack of Glitter, Caution, and her Christmas album are all trending on iTunes right now. Three fucking albums, okay? And this is her 15th album. And also, let's talk about Mariah Carey being a survivor and how she is so empowering. So,
yeah, because
this is now a Mariah Carey stan podcast.
Yeah, no, we're gonna be called like Mariah Carey stan podcast.
But Mariah Carey is a survivor, and a lot of people forget that. And if you look at her career and like her interviews from when she was with her husband,
ex-husband,
and like that abusive relationship he was in, and how she was finally like liberated from it, and how she's so empowered now, and like her lyrics and like the way she carries herself. It's fucking iconic and feminist as fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, which made me hate Thalia afterwards because she was like, oh, let's ignore that whole history of abuse and, like, just get with Tony Matona because I need a career in English. But yeah, no, like, Mariah is queen. Emancipation of Mimi got me through, like, my sophomore. No, I think I was, like, a freshman in high school. Yeah. And... she's just so iconic. Like, people want to, like, throw her away, like
dispose
a crazy...
dispose of her. Yeah. Like, she's useless now. And I'm like, no, like, you pay some respect to Mariah Carey, okay?
And people are like, oh, her voice is gone. Okay, you try singing that shit for 2 decades the way she did, and you can't. Like, you couldn't even do it for 1 year. Mm-hmm. But Mariah gave us quality, and still...
So she can go on stage and, like, do, like, just walk around, and, just like, she has a right to do that.
Yeah, I think I want to pay to see Mariah just so she can, like, waddle and do nothing on stage.
Hmm. Someone said, did we see the picture of her with her and...
Copernic?
Yes.
Yeah,
and white
course.
People are like... acting
but,
like...
but see this.
Like, they don't know who the fuck Mariah Carey is. Like, they don't know she has black children. Like,
and that she's black.
And
I remember,
she's, like, black.
I remember, like, seeing, like, an old article about, like, why does Mariah Carey look white but sing black? And it's, like, because she's black. Like...
she's also, like... what is she from?
She's Venezuelan. Yeah.
So bow down to our Latina queen, okay?
TBH. So...
anyway, okay. We're done with the rant. We're really gonna leave.
We're gonna leave you with Caution. Yeah. No, wait, no. This new song from Caution.
The Distance.
The Distance.
Caution. Off Caution by Mariah Carey.
Featuring Ty Dolla Sign, but it's Mariah Carey. Really. Mm-hmm. All right, so thank y'all. All right.
So anyway, our Patreons will be sending you something nice soon. And thank you all for joining and following us and all the comments.
All right. Love you. Bye.
IT is great to see. We got it. The spirit. Hey, let's hear it.
Ain't nobody stopping us. What we have is dangerous. Left their opinions in the dust. Sick, can't nobody fuck with us. They'll never find a way to make us fade away. Our love will fade away. No, they'll never find a way to make us fade away. Our love will fade away. Warm days, cold nights, late October. Separated people saying what we had was over. But the hate only made us get closer. Closer, said we couldn't go the distance. Yeah, look at us, we're going the distance. They just wanna be us, they don't wanna see us going the distance. Fly us, la-di-da. Said we couldn't go the distance.
try to diminish me, but we stayed up, covering that crown, spotted them difficulties. But they can't, but they can't, but they can't take away them precious memories. And I won't, and I won't, and I won't let them come between you and me. Warm days, cold nights, late October, separated people saying what we had was over. But the hate only made us get closer, closer. Said we couldn't go this time. Look at us, we're going the distance. They just wanna be us, they don't wanna see us going the distance. Flyers, flyers, la-di-da. Said we couldn't go the distance. Flyers, flyers, la-di-da. Look at us, we're going the distance.
We've been going all the way, ay, for the long ass. We too strong, we too silent. They can't stop it now. We applaud it now. Fuck all the comments.